overwhelmed with how beautiful that was. So thank y'all. Thank you to everyone who participated. That was phenomenal. What a wonderful way to start worship. I am so grateful and thankful to be with you and excited to join with you in worship this evening. So with that, let us confess to God and one another, standing or taking the posture which is most comfortable for you. In the name of the Father, and in the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Merciful God, we confess that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We repent of all our sins, known and unknown. We are truly sorry, and we pray for forgiveness. We firmly tend to amend our lives, to seek help in mending what is broken. We ask for strength to turn from sin and to serve you in newness of life. Cling to this promise. The word of forgiveness I speak to you comes from God. By water and the Holy Spirit, God gives you new birth. And through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, God forgives you all your sins. Almighty God, strengthen you in all goodness and keep you in eternal life. Amen. This last Sunday of the Christian church year, Christ the King, is the climax of the church's liturgical journey through the life of Christ and bridge between the completed year and the beginning of the new year. Scripture and song guides the journey of Christ. During the past 12 months, we have traveled through the Christian church year. Jesus was birthed in a stable, walked the dusty hillsides of Galilee, opened the eyes of the blind, made the lame walk, taught the multitudes, was crucified, and rose again. We celebrate the Holy Spirit and reflected on the mission of the church. Today, we celebrate Christ as past, present, and future King over all the earth. During the Advent season, the royal color of blue begins the church year. Advent means coming. In Advent, we hear the silence of the prophets and the experience, the breathless waiting of the Israelites hoping for a Messiah. We sing the song, O come, Emmanuel, with longing, not because we seek a Messiah yet to come to the world, but because the Christ has come and we long for him to return. The quiet pace of Advent is in contrast to the bustling commercialism of the secular holidays. We begin our new year focusing on our need to renew our relationship with this King who shall return.
The first reading is from Isaiah, the 40th chapter, beginning at the first verse. Comfort, oh comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that she has served her term, that her penalty is paid, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for her sins. A voice cries out, in the wilderness prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. Then the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all people shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry out. And I said, what shall I cry? All people are grass. Their consistency is like the flower of the field. The grass withers. The flower fades when the breath of the Lord blows upon it. Sure, the people are grass. The grass withers. The flower fades. The word of our God will stand forever. Get you up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good tidings. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, herald of good tidings. Lift it up. Do not fear. Say to the cities of Judah, here is your God.
Here. Invite the children forward. Oh, wait, we gotta do the Christmas thing first. Sorry, getting excited. Christmas! In the season of Christmas, the colors are white and gold, and is a celebration of the purity of the infant who was born in the manger, and yet a king who dwells with his people. Christmas Day is the culmination of the waiting of the Advent season and the beginning of 12 days of celebration as we rejoice in the gift of our Savior and the rebirth of grace in our lives.
The second reading is from John, the first chapter. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming to the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood or the will of the flesh or of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, through the grace and truth. Here ends the second reading.
Now, I invite the children forward for the children's message. Any children? Oh, only one? One brave soul? Awesome. Well, good morning. So, I have a question. Who has Disney Plus? Yes. I'm not talking about The Mandalorian. I'm not going to do that. How many of y'all seen the old Robin Hood? You both have? Have you seen it yet? You have? Oh, I grew up loving that movie. So, in there, there's actually a lot of talk about kings, right? And what kings should be like, and what kings should look like, even. And that image of Prince John with the wonky crown always stuck in my vision. And I always kind of saw kings as being tyrants because of the way he acted. But today, we're actually talking about Christ the King. Christ the King. How is Jesus our King? What are some ways that you think maybe Jesus is kingly? That's kind of hard, though, isn't it? It is. It's a tough question because you're like, wait, there's not a golden crown. He doesn't carry a scepter. It seems like he doesn't have a palace. So it's kind of hard to think about Jesus as a king. But he comes from royal line, fulfills prophecy. But more so, as our king, Jesus defeats sin and death. And gives us eternal life. And not only does Jesus give us eternal life, but gives the kingdom, gives his kingdom to us as a gift to live into and joyfully proclaim Christ is King right now. Not later, not later, not just later. For with all eternity, we get to live into the joys of that gift right now through Jesus Christ, our King. What a blessing that is to call Jesus King. Can we say prayer? Will you pray with me? Dear Jesus, we give you thanks for these youth and this congregation, this family that you have given your kingdom to. Continue to pour your spirit here. Pour out your spirit. Fill them with your love, your guidance. Bind them together and keep them as they go forth and go out. Help these children to be strong in your faith and to grow in your love and mercy that you are their King. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank y'all. Thank you for being brave, coming up and talking to the new guy. Epiphany, the season of Epiphany. Epiphany means to make known. And this season, we remember the ways God comes in Jesus Christ. The wise men brought gifts to the infant Jesus. They were the first Gentiles to acknowledge Jesus as King and were the first to show Jesus to a wider world as the incarnate Christ. Epiphany focuses on the mission of the church in reaching others by showing Jesus as the Savior of all people.
The third reading is from the 60th chapter of Isaiah, beginning with the 10th verse. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will appear over you. Nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look around. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from far away, and your daughters shall be carried on their nurses' arms. Then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and rejoice, because the abundance of the sea shall be brought to you. The wealth of the nations shall come to you. A multitude of camels shall cover you. The young camels of Midian and Ephah, all those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense, and shall proclaim the praise of the Lord.
The season of Lent. With the ashes of Ash Wednesday on our foreheads, the sanctuary colors of Lent turn to a somber violet and to black at the end of the Passion Week. Throughout the 6 weeks of Lent, we walk the length of Jesus' 3 years of ministry. Lent calls us to look at our life in the light of Christ's likeness and humble ourselves before God. The season of Lent culminates in Passion Week, for a Latin word that means to suffer, and begins with Palm Sunday and the joyful entry of Israel's Messiah King into Jerusalem, and ends with the same crowd crying, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" In between those 2 days, the week's events are remembered on Maundy Thursday and Good Friday.
The fourth reading comes from Mark chapter 8. Then he began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He said all this quite openly, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and looking at his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." He called the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. For what will it profit them to feign the whole world and forfeit their life? Indeed, what can they give in return for their life? Those who are ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of them the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels."
As morning dawns, Mary Magdalene weeps at the tomb until she is told the good news: he is not dead, he is risen. A message that echoes through the corridors of time. Christ is risen. Yes. It didn't work the first service. So thank you. Thank you. I was like, okay, he's risen indeed. Sorry. Year after year, on the highest and holiest day of the Christian calendar, Easter lilies adorn the purity, the sanctuary. The colors change the brightness of white and gold to portray purity and kingliness of our risen Savior. There is no joy compared to an Easter Sunday following Good Friday. We wept with Peter on the night Jesus was crucified. And on Easter, we are awed anew by the great news that he lives. And 50 days of Easter ring jubilantly with the new life and new hope that the risen Savior brings to us, to our world, and to all people.
Reading is from 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. "Now I would remind you, brothers and sisters, of the good news that I proclaimed to you, which you in turn received, in which also you stand, through which also you are being saved, if you hold firmly to the message that I proclaimed to you, unless you have come to believe in vain. For I handed on to you as of first importance what I in turn have received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have died. For since death came through a human being, the resurrection of the dead also has to come through a human being. For as all die in Adam, so all will be made alive in Christ."
Here is the reading.
My favorite church season, Pentecost. Red is the color of Pentecost, as we remember the great rushing wind, the dancing flames of fire, and the words of Jesus, baptizing his disciples with the fire of the Spirit. The disciples of Jesus were huddled in fear in a small upper room. The Holy Spirit came in power, and they rushed into the streets, telling everyone about the good news in ways that all could understand.
The sixth reading is from the second chapter of Acts, starting at verse 1. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they ask, "Are not all of these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belong to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. In our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power. And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, 'What does this mean?'" Here ends the reading.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And also with you.
Let us share that peace with one another. Let us pray. Holy God, gracious and merciful, you bring forth food from the earth and nourish your whole creation. Turn our hearts towards those who hunger in any way, that all may know your care, and prepare us now to feast on the bread of life, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. So, jumped ahead a little bit. We're going back before communion, and we're going to pray for the church and the world and hear about today, Christ the King. So, thank you for bearing with us. So, Christ the King. It is Christ the King Sunday, and it is Christ the Savior King who presides over the table. As we gather, neither Jew nor Greek, male or female, slave or free, but one in Christ to receive the body and blood of our Lord. On Christ the King Sunday, we are reminded that God is with us through all the seasons of life. As we gather around the table today, may you feel the freedom, the joy, the strength of Jesus' presence in your spirit. Remember his words, "Look, I am with you always, yes, even to the end of the age."
united with the saints of every time and place, let us pray for the church, those in need, and all of God's creation. God, you are our righteousness. Fill us with the hope of steadfast love and shine light on places that were invisible to us, so that we may see your kingdom made visible on earth. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God, your reign extends from black holes of the universe to single grain of sand. Guide us to sustain and restore all of our creation and to live in peace with this planet. Hear us, O God. God, you're exalted among nations. Protect the people and countries ravaged by violence, warfare, and hatred, and raise up wise and generous leaders to find their strength in you. Hear us, O God. God, you are our help in times of trouble. Like a shepherd who guards the sheep, watch over your flock, those who are sick and hurting in body, mind, or spirit, those who are mocked, and those who are lonely, especially hear us, O God, for Carol Joan Towery, Chris Hoke, and the family of Joe Houston. Your mercy is great. The God, you call us forth from this place to live lives of service. Equip the outreach ministries of this congregation. Especially, use our hands and feet sharing Christ's love with neighbors in need. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Almighty God, beginning and end, we rejoice the one day we will share in the inheritance of the saints. In thanksgiving, we remember those who have gone before us, especially Justice Faulkner, Jehu Jones, and William Passavant, pastors in North America. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Rejoicing in hope, we lift our prayers to you, most gracious Lord, trusting that you have received them in your care.
Amen.
Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up our hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right and our duty and joy that we should in all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior, Jesus Christ. And so, with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the host of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread. And he gave thanks, and he broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, and he gave thanks, and he gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people. Do this for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for the remembrance of me." For as often as we eat of this bread and drink from this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again. Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We all start on the outside looking in. This is where grace begins. We were hungry, we were thirsty, with nothing left to give for the shape that we were in. Just when all hope seemed lost, love opened the door for us. He said, come to the table. Come join the sinners who have been redeemed. Take your place beside the Savior. Sit down and be set free. Come to the table. Oh, come to the table. The gift of God for the people of God. Come in. Please stand. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen and keep you in his grace.
Amen.
Let us pray. We give you thanks, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through the healing power of your gifts of life. In your mercy, strengthen us through this gift, in faith towards you, and in fervent love towards one another, for the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. God blesses us and sends us in mission to the world. Receive the blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine on you in grace and mercy. And the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Now, may we go forth in peace to love and serve the Lord.